Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Well, hello. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. This is episode 118, and in my heart, anyway, it's a milestone moment as we share a big, major announcement, news to tell you, and we have a special guest on the program to help make that announcement. So as we speak, I am buckling my seatbelt because I may just fly out of my chair, or I may pass out because I haven't slept in about a week, and I'm not kidding, because of what's going on as we prepare for this secret project that we're going to announce on the show. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss that. Also, creating a desert day. What is that? Doesn't that sound nice? And the question of how can an ancient practice of desert fathers and even modern day monks help us in our station in life? Well, Father Nathan Cromley is back to explain what it is and give ideas of how we can build that into our day or our week. That's coming up with the Padre in Your Pocket. And I think, honestly, it's one of the best segments that I've ever heard him do. That's at the end of the show. And the Feast of All Saints and All Souls, turning over a new calendar month to November, and we're falling back. That's coming up with the end of daylight savings time on November 5th. So it's a time of change. It gets darker earlier. The vibrant colors are fading away. Animals heading into hibernation. And it also coincides with the end of the church year, the reminder of our own mortal end and what lies ahead. So that's where, as we begin this week, we lift up our prayers. I actually found this prayer from a Gothic missal and want to start the program that way if you would join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty and everlasting God, who enkindles the flame of love in the hearts of the saints, grant unto us the same faith and power of love, that as we rejoice in their triumphs, we may profit by their examples. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray for the souls in purgatory. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may grow in wisdom. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, today on the show, we have a major announcement. This is huge. It's big. It's exciting. And I thought that it would be most appropriate to bring on a special guest to help make the announcement. So I'm going to introduce you to her in a minute. Right now, she's shrouded in secrecy, but you'll hear her voice and listen to her fantastic announcement with me in a few minutes. Here's the deal. I have a secret that I've been working along with this mystery guest on a covert project, and it has been honestly one of the biggest things in my life in terms of ministry that I can say. And I hope and pray, because of course, anything we do in life, we want to do with a mission of obedience to God and fruit that will come. And that's what this is about, no exception, that you will be blessed in a big way from this project. So the news is, the drum roll and the big curtain being pulled back is, it is a 52-week devotional for women. It is called Choose Joy. It's for women and men, and it follows the church calendar, lectionary year B of the Roman Catholic Church, the common lectionary, but again, church calendar. So for everyone, beginning with the first Sunday of Advent, December 3rd of this year, ending with Christ the King Sunday next year. And let me stress, this is not your average devotional. There is something very unique about this particular work. It's not something I think you can find anywhere else. So I want to tell you what it is. But first, I want to bring along the project editor and turn the spotlight on her. A Good Things Radio listener, as well as a writer and a friend, and that is Catherine Zerte. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you, Brooke. I am so excited to be here and so blessed and honored to be a part of this project and a part of this announcement.
And it comes on the heels of a long day for you and I, with kind of completely numb butts at this point, because we've been sitting in our chairs for hours.
Sciatica kicking in.
Proofreading and praying and going over these devotionals. And so I want to get into the meat of that. We're going to talk about that. But man,
The stage has been set with some amazing cast of characters, these incredible writers, and I want to spotlight those writers as well. But I first want to point out why this devotional is so unique. I mentioned it a few minutes ago, but the writers on this project all come from different faith traditions, but they've also graciously agreed to follow the church calendar, whatever faith tradition they might be from, and their story, their writings, their reflections on scripture. So it's formatted where this book, Choose Joy, is formatted to be a once-a-week devotion and journal. You as editor, coming alongside and being, you know, such a blessed eye on this whole project, you've got to have such a wealth of feelings in your heart right now, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The whole thrust of this project is really, truly to glorify God. This book is for all Christian women and men. And even though it follows the church calendar, it represents all voices. And it's not, it's a devotional that someone could purchase in the year 2020, and it will apply for whatever year. And it doesn't matter what time of year that someone might purchase the book. They could buy it in July and pick it up there from the July scriptures and so on. So it represents a collection or a compendium or a community. I like the word community, of about 30 different writers. Some of them are published authors. Mm-hmm. We have a physician or two. We have a police officer. You know who you are. And
Father Nathan Cromley.
Father Nathan. Mm-hmm. We have, Padre in your pocket, Father Nathan. We have Jeff Cavins, who is an internationally renowned Bible teacher and scholar.
Yeah, and a friend of the show. I have a couple bios right here. So together, maybe we can go through them. Jeff Cavins, what I have written about him is American Catholic evangelist, author, biblical scholar, creator of the Great Adventure Bible Study Program, founding host of the television show Life on the Rock, also Lisa Hendy. Lisa is the founder of CatholicMom.com. She's a best-selling author. She serves as editor at large at Ave Maria Press. Pastor Linda Isaiah.
Woo-hoo!
Not only an amazing speaker, but what a gifted writer turns out.
Listen, her voice, when you read her writings, you feel like she's sitting right next to you, encouraging you. You know, as you know, I've always been a huge fan of the podcast, and I can never miss Pastor Linda Isaiah.
When she's on.
And she just has that special touch. And even in her voice, it translates into her voice.
It does. So, in her story, you know, she talks about the generational wounds of slavery,
yes,
and coming out from the Jim Crow movement, and some of those scars passed on to her family. Mm. And the way she shares the transparency of her struggle and things she's been through, as well as her faith, because she has such great faith and hope. She talks about speaking in tongues and how she was a caregiver of her mother, and that was a difficult thing. And in a moment where she was lower than low, that was when the Holy Spirit descended upon her in her life and gave her this renewed strength. And it is so powerful. And she's just one of the writers. We've got, who else? Trish Berg, she's an assistant professor at Walsh University. She's a writer. I got to know her when I worked at the Fish, and she was the author of, I think it's called The Great American Supper Swap. And what a smart woman, but also just a great Christian wife and mom, and lives in Amish country on a farm with all this acreage. So she brings that into her writing. We have Rachel Scott, who is a mom, African-American mom with a blended family, wrote for the Huffington Post, really wise on a lot of matters regarding relationships and raising teenagers, and again, blended families and the stepmom puzzle piece. So she talks about that. Rachel Balducci, she is a former staff writer for the Augusta Chronicle. She's been in numerous magazines, Good Housekeeping, Faith and Family, The Word Among Us. Robin Swoboda, your buddy and mine, if you are in Ohio at all, and I would say beyond that, because she was in the Avengers Fantastic Four movie, but she is a Hall of Fame broadcaster and news anchor. She's a writer, a columnist for the Akron Beacon Journal. Michelle Fainley, Emily Jaminet, Melody Lyons from The Essential Mother,
Josie Jamie Reiner?
Yes, your friend. Who's a military mom?
She's a military mom. So we have, and she's also a published author.
Right.
And many times over, we also have authors from I would say, the most important career field of all. Moms.
Yeah.
Wives. Single women.
And we exciting about these is a lot of these are women, I don't want to say the hidden years, but women who, if they wanted, could go out and be today New York Times bestselling authors.
Absolutely.
Like, take for instance Marie Mansour. She is a homeschooling mom of 10, but within her home, she is a force, and that fruit has been realized in her children.
Sure,
but the writings and the insights that she has, it's so exciting to be able to pull that out and put that in this book, because she's incredible, this writer that no one would know and has been there all along. But she has such a great interior life of faith. A lot of my friend Jen Gerber, her husband, an Oxford theology professor and Augustine scholar. Well, she is Mrs. Gerber, and she is just as brilliant. And so although she's a stay-home mom, also, if you've listened to the podcast, you know that she lost her daughter. And so she does write about that. She doesn't shy away from those things. And that's part of it, too, these writers sharing their own stories in their own voices. And so we do hear about being a widow and struggling with chronic illness and raising teenagers, to being a mom in the military or adoption. And Catherine Zerte is a writer who's in this as well. Yeah. You've contributed.
Well, and I did. I shared a few stories. One about my father-in-law, who is no longer with us, and his immigration experience, as well as my sister, Linda, who is a rock-solid prayer warrior. There are so many rich and wonderful stories. We designed the book. We kept a word limit, so to speak, mm-hmm. for each, because we know that your time is very valuable. And we wanted, you know, sometimes intense Bible studies, for instance, and devotionals that require a lot of homework can be a little intimidating. So each week's devotion will take maybe 10 minutes to read. And then there's also a journal activity. So the book really is not just a devotional. It's also a journal.
Right.
And if you so choose to dig deep, to dig a little deeper into the scripture and into the devotional message, there are some very carefully written reflection questions.
That surprised me as well, how much in just one sentence, a brief reflection was stirring up in my spirit. And just the formula, I think, is unique. And I know there are so many fantastic, beautiful, powerful devotionals out there. I think in the years of working at the Fish, for me personally, as a Roman Catholic woman, wife, mom, being able to encounter so many faithful, beautiful, on fire Christians with authentic experiences and a heart for the Lord that is real, you see that we all are one, maybe not in dogma or theology, but in our heartbeat and why we're here. And that mix is where this book was born from, because we, on our best days, I think, have a hard time kind of going outside of our radius. It, depending on where you go and what you do, but at least for me, my life is pretty set in stone in terms of drop off, pick up, clean, you know, do things. Every now and then I'll go out and do things, but I'm not really going into the inner city or into a big city, for that matter, where I live. And maybe someone in a big city isn't going to a rural area, or going inside the doors of Baptist churches or Methodist churches. And through this book, we are. And we're not only going into the doors, but we're going into the hearts. And so to see through the church calendar in the year that unfolds, how each woman and man is walking through these scripture verses and living out an authentic witness is really exciting. And I think that we realize that we can learn from each other. And that's what's so great about this.
I agree. It's a wonderful community of writers, and to draw the readers into the community. So our iPhones or our cell phones, so much of our attention is geared toward those screens. And the purpose of the book is to get us to look away from that screen once in a while and to spend more time looking to Him. And that's the goal. To expand this community and to get us to look to Him.
And you pointed out too, in these tumultuous times, we've got to focus on solidarity and unity.
Yes.
And that's what I think is the most powerful part about this book.
I agree.
Is that you say, wow, this person might be very different than me in a very different experience. And through that, it expands our hearts. It expands our understanding for compassion. And we might not be able to sit in a room again with, you know, a diverse group of people, but we can do that in this way in our own homes. And the neat thing, too, that I think with how the book is formatted, it's not seasonal. So it's not like, okay, it's just this time of year and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. It's a whole year, but it's also not every day. And I think, like, I love the Magnificat. I don't know what I would do without it. It's a book that does walk with you every day. But when I was sharing this news at my book club, one of my girlfriends, she raised her hand in the air and she was like, hallelujah, because I can do this. I can do once a week. And to know that if I'm drawn to go back to these verses every day that week, fine. But at least I'm not going to get behind on it. And I can say, okay, one day, this will be my day, my date day with my devotional. And I can sit down and look at what that reading is this week and ponder those things. And even if I go back 3 days later and write the journal, it's something that will germinate. And so I think that format is good.
Right. Right, exactly. And we even made it so easy for you. The scriptures are printed within the text
right.
of the book.
Yep.
So you don't even need to, but with the hope that you will want to dig deeper and open up that good book.
And the funny thing is, this is all a complete flower from the Lord. And when we initially were doing this Choose Joy Luncheon, which is going to be happening in our neck of the woods at Walsh University in Canton, Ohio on December 9th, we said it would be neat to have like a little takeaway, like a little devotional that the ladies, because there's so many people. I know we see it in our own churches. You're like, man, the world needs to know this person's story. I mean, we all have a story.
Yes.
And so meeting those, you know, people, it's like, let's do something. And then the people that were coming alongside, Walsh University saying, we want to sponsor this book. We want to be a part of this. And the authors that said, yeah, I want to do it. I mean, that was to me unexpected and exciting. And so the caliber of writers, I think, is extraordinary, where we're already seeing it grow way past what we expected.
And three of the writers are going to be speaking at the December 9th event.
Right.
I.e. you, Robin,
yes.
And Pastor Linda.
And
yeah.
Also Lori Triplett, who
yes.
will be at our Arise retreat, Taylor Tripodi, who was at our Arise retreat last
so
year. And these are young girls, too. So
right.
I like that it really is for all ages. We do have men that have contributed, like Father Nathan Cromley and yeah. Jeff Cavins.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have older and younger. So it really spans every demographic in this fantastic tapestry of colors and textures and stories.
Yes.
When you have been editing it, because I know you've been in the trenches, you're reading for copyright mistakes, you're doing the table of contents, the whole layout of this book. And in addition to the 52 weeks, it is also extra days like Good Friday and Ash Wednesday and Holy Thursday.
Yes. Yes.
Epiphany is in there, which is a Sunday anyway. But what have you taken away in terms of the reflections? Has there been one that really jumped out at you?
You know, there are so very many in this book. I have to say, first of all, that do you remember the email that I sent you about a week and a half ago? And I said, this is not your been there, done that devotional. Because, you know, I'm a collector of devotionals. I'm embarrassed to say how many shelves in my library are filled with devotionals. But this one, the quality of the writing, there's something meaty about each and every devotion. There's something that I've been able to take away. This is not just your everyday, ordinary book by any means. There have been so many. Father Nathan's, of course, those are like little padres in your pocket.
Oh my, you can go back to those over and over.
Wrote. And I already mentioned about Pastor Linda, but one of the ones that really stuck in my mind was the one by a certain police officer that you and I both love.
And she's a friend of the show. Vicky
she is.
Has been on.
But Vicky has, she had one that, and I know that she hasn't written any books, but hers is one that really stuck out in my mind because she discussed how she has, you know, really struggled the last few years. Well, first she struggled in finding a career that really fit for her, the place where God wanted her to be. And she ended up in law enforcement, and she does not have an easy beat. She then wrote about how the current events in the last couple of years have really made walking her beat so to speak. Very, very difficult and very challenging. And how she has been encouraged of the Lord since that time. And how she has renewed sense of mission about her career. That's one of the many, many.
I think it's so neat is we just don't know what's below the surface. You know, we see people exteriorly.
Yes,
and
good point.
That's one of the things that I wrote in my introduction. And I've been pondering that so much lately in the idea of in heaven, and we'll know the stories and the heart and the mercy of God. And I wish in this life, we could get a better sense of that, of people. We don't know. I remember I was at a 82nd Airborne meeting with my husband, and it was here in this area. This was after he got out of Fort Bragg and out of the service, but it was veterans all meeting. And there was a young girl there, and I just thought, oh, that's nice, because it was mostly older men that were there and with their wives. Well, she was there because her dad was killed in action, and she was representing their family. And I thought, wow, I would never, you know, we just see people. We never know what they've gone through, what they've been through, how they've survived. Or we see people all made up and think, oh, their life is so easy.
Yes.
And I know, we who try to live in the Spirit understand it's deeper than that, but we don't really know their stories. And that's what I love about this book is seeing Vicky in her cop uniform, like,
yes.
Oh man, I don't want her to tase me.
But
the truth is her interior life, she is going on the Holy Land pilgrimage. She and her family, you know, called to the Holy Land to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Those people who are going to be in her back cop car don't know that. And they're not going to know that when she comes back from walking in Galilee and in Nazareth and all these places. And yet here is this novel of devout humility inside her heart and spirit. And she's just giving us a little glimpse of that. And so each author has offered that. Lisa Hendy talked about becoming a mother-in-law and how she's really grown in terms of her own journey and wanting, hoping to be a good mother-in-law. And that's a topic I don't know is talked about a lot. So it was really neat to see her transparency and heart with that too.
Well, and you also break open your heart to the reader, to the readers, hopefully more than one.
Let's hope, please.
I know. When you shared your own faith journey and how you came from, I don't want to give too much away, but you came from as a young teen and a young single woman, young adult, floundering, trying to find what really matters in life, and then how God kind of threw a book at your head. Not really, but you encountered this book in a bookstore that whoa, you purchased it, and it really kind of shook you awake a little bit, spiritually speaking, and how God used that book to get you back to the straight and narrow path and becoming the most wonderful wife and mother. And
I wrote that too. I said, I am now the most wonderful wife and mother. No, I didn't.
She is in my book.
No way.
Anyway.
But true to what you're saying, it was in my mind one of those moments that gave me a before and after picture.
Yes.
This was me before, BG, before God, and AG, after God, in my life. And
mm-hmm.
I grew up with a faith. And I know so often we encounter similar journeys like this, where we grew up in a Christian home, but somewhere along the way, we went off path. And especially as a young career professional, my life was my job. And I want to be famous and I want to do, and it wasn't necessarily I wanted to be famous, but I wanted to earn, you know, great success and all the things that I thought would bring me happiness.
Right.
And so then finding, discovering, being seized by this love affair with God, how everything changed. And there was a particular example of how I knew it changed. And so it was privilege. And then you're putting yourself out there too, whenever you share things. I know you had to ask for your sister's approval for yours.
I did.
You were sharing some pretty deep stuff.
I was. And of course, I would not have published or put that in the book without her permission. I had her read every word.
That's exciting because you're going outside of into an area that is in the deep end. And I think that's good. And that's where we know God is our life preserver. And I don't know. Did we share the details? So the book will be out before the first Sunday in Advent. That's where it begins, December 3rd. But you can get it the Tuesday before, which is actually the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. So it will be the 27th of November. The funny thing about this is I leave the 26th for the Holy Land. So this thing, oh my goodness. But on one hand, so I feel like I'm having a baby and I'm not even going to be there.
I know.
But on the other hand, what better place could I possibly be than in the Holy Land? And then we'll come back 2 days before the Choose Joy Luncheon, which is kind of the unofficial launch party. A lot of the authors and writers are from Ohio. Many, though, aren't. I would say, I don't want to say half and half. I'm trying to think just off the top of my head. But
I know that there are over a dozen, maybe 15 from out of
yes,
the state of Ohio. So
that are national. For those that are here, that's going to be an exciting time where the book will be in hand,
exactly,
in the flesh, you know, this tangible hardbound book. We're also going to make it available on Kindle, on Amazon, but those details will be forthcoming. So at least you know, please, in the new evangelization, there is a place for everyone where God calls us, but that we would live out the nobility of that call and to be able in an ecumenical way to reach new places and grow together as one. And so that will be the release date, the day that you can get it. And then from there, you can really, even though it's launching for the first week in Advent, it's a year-long devotional. So if you ask for Christmas, maybe it's, you know, be a great Christmas gift as well. Sky's the limit.
Thank you for the blessing and opportunity. I cannot tell you, it has been a life-changing experience, truly.
Well, thank you for your yes.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
So as the time gets closer to the Holy Land pilgrimage, I've been working alongside Father Nathan's brother, his fellow monk, Father John Michael Paul. He's going to be co-leading our trip to Israel, he and I together. And so as we're coordinating, we've had a lot of meetings over the month, but one day I had suggested, I said, hey, what about a Tuesday? And Brother John Michael Paul said, nope, I can't do Tuesdays. That's our desert day. And I thought, wow, that sounds so nice. And what is it exactly? And I've heard of desert days. And in Lent, we talk about going out to the desert. But I was just curious about the format. How is that framed and engineered in the monk day in their week? And can we mimic that in our station in life? So I asked Father Nathan. He stepped up as usual. So here to walk us through, paint that beautiful picture, is Father Nathan Crownley, back with a Padre in your pocket. Take a listen.
Padre in your pocket.
Hello, everybody. This is Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket, this time coming to you deep from inside monk land. By that, I mean that the religious life has a lot of traditions and wisdom that can help even moms and dads at home with the kids. In other words, the life that unites the monk and the mom is actually the same mystery, the mystery of Christ. Charity. I want to talk to you about one of those little things that really can come in handy for moms. It's a tradition in the monastic world called the desert. The desert is another word for the desert would be the wilderness. It's the place where you go to fly away to be alone with God. It actually comes from Revelation chapter 12, when it says that the devil was trying to attack the woman who was about to give birth. But then the woman fled into the wilderness or into the desert, to the place prepared for her by God. And there she basically waits out the attack and she survives. What an amazing tradition and what an amazing gift. For the monk, the monastery is that desert that's been prepared for him by God. It's a place of solitude, a place therefore sometimes of suffering, a place where he's tried, but a place also where he can rely totally on God and allow God to carry him through the nights and through the dryness. Well, in our own lives as Catholic laywomen or Christian people, we need to find that equivalent of the monastic desert. For active priests, for example, this would be their annual retreat. This would also be a day in the week that my religious community dedicates every week to what we call the desert. We call it our desert day. And it's a day where we pray more and we set aside our time and our effort to be reserved for God. That desert day then becomes like the sacred meeting place where we rediscover how dependent we are on Jesus and on his love for us. I want to recommend that that's something that you also could do, even though you might think, no, I'm too busy, or no, how do I possibly take that? I actually know a married couple that does it like this. Every Saturday, the husband will take, or every other Saturday, they take turns taking care of the kids for that Saturday. On one Saturday, the husband will take the children and from 8 until 12 and let the wife take her desert day. She's just free. She can go to the chapel. She can go to the church. She can go for a walk in the park. She can be alone with her God. And then the next Saturday from 8 to 12, she takes the kids. Even if you were to think of it for a couple of hours a week, but where you plan in and you allow you, yourself, and your spouse to have that solitude with God, it's a tremendous asset. If we don't take time alone with him, then we'll never have time alone with him. It just kind of sounds oversimplified, but actually it's just that simple. We need to have our time with our God. Living in the desert is a choice that we make to deprive ourselves of Facebook, of our phone, and to have that time to be with our God. And it'll make all the difference. Ladies, you're in my prayers always. For Padre in your pocket, here's Padre. God bless.
Okay, wow. Thank you again to Father Nathan Cromley. And I hope you found that as inspiring as I did. Just a really, really beautiful invitation, I think, to build our week or at least one day around that premise. A big howdy to the PSR parents at St. Rita's Church in Solon, Ohio. I'm preparing to speak there next week. And a big thank you for taking the time to listen to today's show and support the program, pray for the podcast. God bless you. A big thank you to all of our GTR Podbean patrons. If you'd like to support the program in that way, we are so grateful, even for your prayers. You can find out more about how to become a patron if you click on the link in the show notes. Also, humbly, as we laid out this big news about the Choose Joy devotional, just asking for your prayers, just the humble, simple seed of Choose Joy to be planted in the hearts as the Lord wills. And thank you so much for allowing us to share that with you. It's personal, it's exciting, and I'll keep you posted in the next month, especially as everything ramps up and we begin to launch this book, some exciting updates with that. Also wanted to mention one more note about this project. I would be remiss if I did not point out the amazing, brilliant work of our cover artist. The design, which I have currently posted on all social media, is a sneak peek of the Choose Joy cover, which is just beyond anything I could have imagined. We commissioned her for this piece. Her name is Ali Tal, and she is a watercolor artist. She does script lettering, and her Instagram is Fearless Ali, which I encourage you to support, follow, check out her work there. She also has an Etsy shop. It's called Saint Script. But I had a chance to know her because she was at the first Arise retreat. See, here again, the way the Holy Spirit, like a jigsaw puzzle, just connects our lives, never knowing then what would come forth now. So I know the final image of the cover, which is just better than my wildest dreams, but that sneak peek you can take a look at, and I captured that as the shot for our episode 118, so you can see that and know that's where we're going when you see the actual cover of the book. But a big thank you again to Allie. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire, so for any needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord's light shine upon you and give you peace. Until next time, friends, God bless you.